now, the Wild About Pets radio show, the place to learn something new about household pets and wild animals. Here's your host, educator and naturalist Susan Frank.
Hello, welcome to Wild About Pets. This is the place we talk to leading authors and experts about wild animals or household pets. Today, our subject is newly born springtime animals, and this couldn't be more fitting because it actually finally feels like a spring day here in Chicago, where I'm broadcasting from. In order to make your listening experience more enjoyable, I have a companion website, wildaboutpets.net, that allows you to see photographs of the animals we're talking about on the show. To look at these pictures while you are listening, click the purple Look While You Listen button you see on the Talk Zone homepage. While enjoying those first warm weather days outside in your yard, have you or your dog ever disturbed a nest of baby bunnies? Has a duck ever made a nest right by a sidewalk that you happen to walk along? Or have you ever had a skunk move under your front stoop? Have you wondered what you're supposed to do when these things happen? When I was working at various nature centers, these type of phone calls were the most frequent ones we received. With the coming of spring also comes all the wild animals that are preparing nests for the new babies or giving birth to their new litters. And sometimes these activities come into conflict with ours, and you may find the creatures are living a little bit too close for comfort. Or maybe you worry that the animals could be injured, which of course you'd like to avoid having happen. Today, my guest is Stephanie Tzulin from the Willowbrook Wildlife Center in Glen Ellyn, Illinois, and she works on the front line at the center in advising about what to do with baby wild animals. Stephanie will be answering our questions today of what to do if you find the animals at your house and when you might need outside help to address the issues. Our phone lines are going to be open throughout the entire show, so today's a perfect opportunity to call in with any particular questions you may have. So let me give you that phone number right from the top. It's 888-463-6748 or 888-GO-FOR-IT. Welcome, Stephanie. I'm thrilled to have you on the program today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Stephanie Tzulin, as a staff member at Willowbrook Wildlife Center, admits wildlife to the center for treatment and provides wildlife information and assistance to the public. She graduated from the University of Illinois in 2004 with a degree in natural resources and environmental science with a focus on fish and wildlife conservation. She is an avid bird watcher, and she does have her own bird, a four-year-old cockatiel named Ito. Stephanie, what are some of the most common animals that give birth in the spring that we can expect to see here in the Midwest?
Well, for sure, the top one would be the eastern cottontail, little bunnies. Also, tree squirrels, both gray and fox squirrels, raccoons, chipmunks. Also, we've got some of the birds, the mallards, the geese, as well as just assortment of all the other songbirds, too.
All right, and what we're going to do is we're going to go through each one of those animals and talk a little bit about, you know, where we find them, what happens if, you know, we, you know, come into some contact with them that we're not sure about. And I have some really adorable photos of baby animals. A lot of them were provided from Willowbrook Wildlife Center. And so if you'd like to see those photos, again, make sure you click that purple Look While You Listen button, and you can follow along with the photographs as we're talking. And I've got to say, you know, there's little animals that I've never seen, you know, little baby animals. And Stephanie, the photos you sent are just fabulous.
All right, so hard not to be.
So let's start out with that eastern cottontail rabbit. And here we have a photograph of a nest in a flower bed. And I know a common story that I have heard, and maybe you've heard this also, is someone's out playing in the lawn and they're mowing their lawn or something, and all of a sudden they disturb a nest. Mm-hmm. Tell us what happens, what should we do if we do find a nest of baby bunnies?
Okay, well, I mean, firstly, you know, if you just come across it, you just see it there, best thing to do is really nothing. You know, they really commonly build their nest in very seemingly inappropriate spots, like middle of the backyard, under swing sets, baseball field, dog runs. You know, so as long as the nest is fairly undisturbed, not much you can do or should do. go ahead.
If, as you said, it's under a swing set, however, and there's a direct conflict of interest where the, you know, children need to play and it would clearly be a problem, what should someone do?
Well, a cocktail nest, if it has to be, can be moved. Typically, though, we say it needs to be about 10 feet or less for the mom to still be able to find it. You know, if you find a nest, you know what I'm talking about. They're not really that great. I mean, people always imagine this, this elaborate hole. A lot of times it's just a real shallow depression in the ground. Commonly the babies will have either grass clippings or mulch or the mother's fur covering them up. So you can kind of, you know, if you can find a safer location that is within that 10-foot range, sort of dig a little shallow depression and move the babies along with the nesting material to the safer spot. Another option is to, if possible, if it works for that situation, during the daytime, the nest can actually be covered up with a box or a upside-down laundry basket or something similar. You know, the mom rabbit really only is coming by to feed them, and she does that either real early morning or overnight. So during the day, they're kind of just out there alone, and, you know, the basic form of protection is really not to be noticed. So, you know, as long as it's during the day, the nest can be covered, and that kind of helps either dogs or kids or cats from getting into the nest to examine the babies.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the questions I received a lot of time was, well, there's no mother there. It's just the babies, and so obviously they must have been abandoned. But you're making the point that she's nearby hiding, keeping an eye on that
exactly.
nest.
Exactly. That's her main defense, is really just not to draw any attention to it. And as well as the babies are actually unscented while they're in the nest to help them remain undetected.
Okay, so now what happens in the case where the lawnmower has actually gone over the nest and some of the babies are injured or killed, or that dog or cat, you know,
right,
was
right.
found with a rabbit in its mouth?
Okay.
When there's an injury, what should somebody do?
If there's an injury, the best thing to do is to grab up that little baby, get him right into either like a shoebox or a little carrier, something, you know, where he can be contained, giving him a towel or an old rag or something, you know, to kind of snuggle in. I mean, they're very, very scared of us, so giving them somewhere to hide in a little box is first thing. Next thing to do would really be to try to call a local wildlife rehabilitator. You know, in the state of Illinois, these wild animals are protected by state laws and do require that if they are injured, they need to be brought to someone licensed to care for them, which would be a wildlife rehabilitator.
I know. Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going, Stephanie.
No, that was that's. Go ahead.
Okay. I know a lot of times our natural inclination, and it's a wonderful human inclination, is to try and help themselves. And let's say someone, it's late at night and there's no one to call or they can't find someone. People naturally think, well, it's a baby. I just feed them a little bit of milk and maybe they'll even go to a pet store and get some formula. Is it advisable for someone to try and feed the babies themselves?
No, absolutely not. You know, with these tiny little guys, their systems are still developing and pretty delicate. So any abrupt change in diet can really cause some health problems for them. They can get very dehydrated. They can have, you know, if fed improperly as well, they can aspirate where the food actually goes in the lungs and can cause pneumonia. As well as the stuff that we have to feed them, you know, water, milk, that's not stuff that they would actually be fed in the wild. You know, they don't drink water. They can't digest our milk properly, so it's really best to not feed them. And important to remember, too, in the wild, mom's only feeding them once or twice a day, so they can really go quite a while without food and water. So that's not the concern.
Thank you. And in the case with cottontails, I understand from having spoken to you at times over the years, I worked in nature centers, cottontails can become stressed very easily, and they're a very hard animal to keep alive for an average person who might find
sure.
one.
Of course.
OK, Okay, let's talk about the next animal here that you kind of mentioned on our list, chipmunks. And again, we have some really cute pictures of baby chipmunks. If you want to see those photographs, if you just joined us, click the Look While You Listen purple button, and we're on picture number 3. And also, our phone lines are open if you want to call and ask Stephanie any questions about, you know, wild animal babies or wild animals. The number is 888-463-6748. So, Stephanie, look at these teeny little baby chipmunks with those little black and white stripes down their backs. What can you tell us about chipmunks if people find them?
Sure. Well, you know, because of the way chipmunks live, which is mostly underground, they're actually not as common to find unless, you know, somehow their little tunnel system's been destroyed. Sometimes people find them as they're redoing their yards or sidewalks. Or, you know, again, sometimes they just sort of appear and no one knows why. But so normally they would be living underground in a little underground den and stay put until they're old enough to kind of be more mobile on their own. You know, if they are found, wild moms are really good moms and they want their babies back. So typically what I try to recommend, first of all, is really just leaving the babies put exactly where they were found for a while to try to give mom that chance to be able to locate them. You know, sometimes they may end up misplaced somehow and she just hasn't had a chance to even find them yet.
All right. One of the common occurrences that I've actually experienced is with an outdoor cat, where all of a sudden you'll find the cat has a chipmunk. Now, often when I had a cat that sometimes would be outside in the yard, the chipmunk wasn't dead or anything, and I would ask my cat to drop it, and Willie, my cat, would listen to me. He would drop the chipmunk, and most of the times the chipmunk was fine. In a case when, you know, your pet has captured a chipmunk, again, would you say if it's injured, you know, it should be brought into a wildlife center or a rehabber should be called?
Yes. You know, with cats, it's tricky because they have a type of bacteria in their saliva that can very easily cause infection in other animals or, you know, small wildlife. So if there are any punctures, you know, it's okay to kind of try to look over, check the animal out, the baby, you know, see if you find any punctures. If so, it is very important to try to get him to a rehabber because they will need some antibiotics. Other than that, if he's unharmed and you happen to know where he may have come from, you can, again, try to put him back. If you're really unsure, it's not a good idea just to leave him out there unknown. You know, maybe mom will find him, maybe not. It's probably better if you really have no idea where he came from to bring him to a rehabber as well.
All right. Now, my father had a situation with chipmunks. This was in the house that they lived in for many years. And there was that cement front stoop. And over the years, there kind of got a crack in it. And then he noticed at some point chipmunks, you know, dug in and opened up. And he had an ongoing little battle where he would cement up the stoop and then the chipmunks would dig it out and he'd cement it up and they'd dig it out. What can you suggest for when the chipmunks are kind of determined that they're going to make a little home in your yard or, I mean, in your near your, you know, cement stoops?
You know, it's funny because chipmunks are actually probably one of the hardest animals to get rid of because of their living situation. I mean, they have these safety holes they can retreat to, so they don't, you know, it's not as easy to deter them as maybe some other animals. So, you know, what I try to recommend if people really want to, you know, get rid of them is first thing, be sure you're not inadvertently providing food source for them because that will make them more likely to stick around an area, bird feeders or, you know, throwing out food for squirrels or whatnot. That will make them stay longer. Another thing is to try to figure out where their main openings are. They usually have at least 2, maybe 3. And really all you can try is to make them feel unsafe or uncomfortable to go into their den or come out of their den. They'll just want to leave the area if it feels unsafe. So things you can put would be maybe those little windmills you could stick along that blow around, even just like a stake with some colorful ribbon or shiny ribbon blowing around. Things that are going to be scary for them are, you know, blow around or make noise or reflect light. Another thing is, I just want to say this is not good to do with baby season, but ammonia is a real strong smell that mammals really don't like, and soaking rags in ammonia can be used in a den to make the animal want to leave, but again, not with babies present, because that can be very harmful for them.
Okay, and we will talk more about that whole issue of babies. We do have a caller right now. Keith has a question, so go ahead, Keith. What would you like to ask Stephanie today?
Actually, I'd like to know, this I guess kind of goes back to babies. I don't mean to go back to a topic that maybe you were trying to move away from, but we've had a problem with rabbits around our house, actually in the backyard, and about a week or two ago we noticed a rabbit's nest, a little hole in the ground about maybe 4 or 5 inches, and just wondering how to deal with that in case we ever came across a baby rabbit.
Okay. Well, chances are pretty good that they're going to be there already. If you have a nest, you probably have the babies in it. If possible, the best thing is really to do nothing. Baby rabbits grow real fast. They're only in the nest for about 3 weeks, and then they leave. So they're very small when they leave the nest, and that's just the way that they grow, and that's just how they're designed. But so typically, it's not that long. You actually have to deal with this. Do you have dogs?
Pardon me?
Do you have dogs?
No.
Okay, well, that's good. That's a common issue, is how do you keep the dog away. But, you know, as long as you know it's there, just best try to ignore it, and you know, it will be done in time, 3 weeks' time, and you won't really have to worry about it.
Keith, are you bothered by the fact that maybe you constantly have a lot of rabbits just that hang out in your yard?
Actually, that was going to be my next question. You seem to have 2 or 3 rabbits that we see on an almost daily basis running around in the yard, and is that something we need to worry about? Or, you know, obviously that I suppose, yeah, increases the possibility of more baby rabbits.
Right. and mom rabbits can actually have up to 6 or 7 litters a season. I mean, she can be pregnant and nursing at the same time, so there's definitely a chance for a lot of babies. The most common complaint I get about rabbits in the yard is that they're eating their plants or landscaping.
Yep.
Other than that, they really don't cause much harm, or they're not too much of a nuisance. With any landscaping issues, the best thing is to try to remove any excess that the cottontails have to the plants, which can be difficult, but mm-hmm. trying to just prevent them from getting into that. And I also believe that, and there's also some products sold commercially that I'm sure that garden centers that are supposed to, you know, deter them or keep them out by either bad smells or other methods. But, you know, I have a lot of people call and are frustrated, and it's just difficult. I mean, what works for one person may not always work for someone else, and they can be very persistent.
Okay. Well, very good. I appreciate the insight.
Sure.
And thank you for your call, Keith. We are going to take a short break now. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back with more after this.